Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo!
You hear the sound of those sirens, that can only mean one thing. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Outsider's Edge podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network. This is your boy, Mr. Kyle Moore, is almost forgetting the intro, and I am joined, as always, by my good brother, Mr. Rance Morris. How you doing, sir?
It's rough over there, isn't it? It's early as hell, y'all. This is we're doing this on the weekend. For once, so this is a little early for us, but yes. Yeah,
this is the Saturday morning version of the intro, and it is not as smooth.
I'm actually doing good, although, you know, another weekend, another game, another day that Everton's getting their ass beat, but such is life. But what about you, man? How you living? I love the shirt. You got the best Sami Zayn shirt ever made.
Dancing Sami Zayn. I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to get my tattoo colored in later today, so, you know, No, the Munchlax has already been colored in. I'm going to get Link colored in today.
Got you. Okay. Munchlax, yeah. Sorry. I'm not the Pokemon stand.
Nah, you good. So I apologize. Nah, you good. I'm going to go get my tattoo colored in today. Things are going good here in Casa de Moores. So, you know, everything is rolling. You know, recently I went and I saw the new Spider-Man movie, and yes, things are getting big into the multiverse now, and I'm here for the multiverse because I'm really hoping that they're going to use the multiverse to introduce the mutants. But we're not here to talk about that multiverse. We're here to talk about the multiverse of wrestling.
To steal a phrase from Keith Lee, I am basking in your glory. That was fantastic.
I mean, this is the show for hashtag journalism.
Go buy the shirt.
ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. However, I can't take credit for calling it the multiverse of wrestling. I stole that from the former Aiden English. Not the point. The point is, WWE recently made some announcements about the entrance for the Women's Royal Rumble match. And I've seen a lot of people really upset in terms of, why are you announcing everybody? Give me some surprises, save some surprises. There's still 11 women left to be announced, and I'm sure they aren't going to announce all 11 of them, and they haven't already told us that Bad Bailey's coming back, so when her music hits, y'all can all bask in her glory. However, among the entrants that they have announced, they go through and they give this big video package, and they talk about your usuals, Rhea Ripley, Nikki A.S.H., your returning legends, the Bella Twins, Kelly, Summer Lita. Ray. Summer Ray, that was a surprise. Yeah. That was a big shocker.
Lita's another one. She was on SmackDown last night. Yeah.
But then they went ahead and announced that the Impact Knockouts champion and future Hall of Famer, Mickie James, will be in the Royal Rumble, which is a huge deal because not only did they announce Mickie for the Royal Rumble, they announced her both on the show and on their socials as the Impact Knockouts champion, Mickie James.
Big deal.
Like, WWE just out here acknowledging Impact is a thing in 2022. Like, wow.
There's so much to unpack with this. So much to unpack. Do you? So where do you want to start? You want to start with the Mickie situation? You want to start with the Rumble in general? Where you
want No, I want to start with something even more rudimentary. Rance, when's the last time we talked about Impact as not a joke on this show?
Oh, man, does it exist? Was Kayla still on the show?
But you know what I'm saying? Like they got us out here talking about Impact Wrestling seriously.
It is. Look, give them all the credit in the world. You're right. I don't remember the last time. Maybe it was one of those Matt Hardy.
No, I remember when it was when we bought the. They tricked us into buying either Slammiversary or Bound for Glory that one
year. That's right. When the Good Brothers debuted,
they kept teasing that they were going to give us all this good shit, and then they gave us all this because Impact gon' Impact.
And I have always been a person who I believe in as a executive. I may not be the biggest believer in Don Callis, but I tend to believe in Scott D'Amore. I think he usually does good work. Sensible work, if nothing else, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Scott D'Amore was the first person to get behind Robert Roode and Team Canada and Eric Young.
PD, yeah. Yep.
And I mean, not for nothing. Everybody that he took into Team Canada, they all turned out to be huge stars for Impact. And several of them went on to be big stars in wrestling overall. But I stand corrected. Let's continue.
It's okay. You gotta have the big hoss, right? It's okay.
Every stable gotta have a Jannetty.
There you go. The real members all became stars. You're right.
Don't fire Eric.
Don't fire Eric. Look, I feel him because every time he come out and the pyro will go off and he gets scared. That's me in real life. Because if you've ever been to a show with me, I will close my ears for the pyro. I will also say,
don't fire Eric. Eric Young is the way that you get an actual superhero gimmick off. Because Super Eric got over in a way that Nikki A.S.H. did not. Hurricane Helms got over in a way that Nikki A.S.H. did not. I know Nikki A.S.H. got a push and got a title reign. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in terms of organic crowd overness, talk to Gregory and Eric about how to get a superhero gimmick really going. But she turned heel on Rhea, so it don't matter now.
She's Professor Chaos now. She's Professor Chaos, word to Butters in South Park. Yes.
Let's get into the Forbidden Door.
Okay. So it's so much of this that I kind of want to talk about and break down. But the Forbidden Door part of it is funny to me, right? Because number one, I think we have to acknowledge that for all of their issues and for all of their frailties and for all of their imperialisticness, if I can use that word, they've been a lot more progressive than we think. They mentioned TNA in a promo not too long ago with Sammy and Kevin when they got fired, and Kurt was like, well, TNA's hiring. They've brought Dixie Carter on. The documentaries for were like AJ and Joe and stuff. They have their TNA stuff on there.
Well, and I think it's worth noting, and we've said it before on the show, their relationship with Impact specifically changed big time when Impact no longer tried to present, not even was a threat, but no longer tried to present itself as a competitor.
Okay.
When Impact embraced the idea of we are our own thing, we want to be our own thing, we're over here doing our own thing in our own lane, on our own network, with our own time. Like, once that became the modus operandi and not the like, oh, we're the number two dog in town and we're the big competitor and we're gonna take you down. Once that stopped being the mantra, all of a sudden it became, oh, well, no, how can we work together? You do have a tape library that we would love some access to. You do have some really talented people that we would be interested in working with. You do have this, 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 and this.
That's a great point, man. Because, you know, WWE's always been about the business. And they would have never cared about the business if, one, they wouldn't have started hiring so many people who had such storied histories in TNA. AJ, Joe, Bobby Roode, so James Storm for the second he was there, but so Eric Young, so many people, but even Mickey to a certain extent because of her time there. But then, like you said, yeah, it didn't make a difference anymore because they weren't presenting themselves as a threat, which makes the whole Chris Jericho on Stone Cold's thing this past year even more bizarre. But it's Jericho.
And this it is Jericho number one, but number two. Man, I would not be shocked after all his bullshit and all his tickety talk, 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 if his contract expired this year and he were to come back so that he can end his wrestling career with the big money person who will sign his checks for the rest of his life so that he can ride off into sunset and tour with Fozzy on a Legends deal.
There's three people, for the record, quick tangent, that are coming back regardless. At some point, maybe it's not a long-term thing, but at some point, Danielson is coming back because he's told you he's coming back because he said, I'm a WWE guy. I just wanted
His wife's in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, he just his stepfather is Johnny Laurinaitis. Like
he has straight up said, I just need to get this shit out. I need to go do these things. I need to wrestle with folk. I need to do it the way I want to do it. And then I'm going to come back home.
Here's a way that you'll understand it if you're a Coming to America fan. He just wanted to sow his royal oats. And then he'll come back and do the real thing. But he'll be back. Jericho will be back. And Moxley at some point will be back. I believe.
You think
so? I don't know.
He's coming back to wrestling next week.
I'm purchasing that. So if you want to go with me, cool. But I'm buying that.
I mean, I have hesitations because, like, GCW gets so hardcore, and, you know, I'm not super into the hardcore. But, like, I just want to say props to Mox for admitting that he needed help. Props to Mox for going out to get help. And I hope, and I think it will happen, but I do want to put it out in the ether because it is my strong hope. I hope that every locker room and fan base will support and embrace his journey through sobriety.
Yeah.
And help protect that.
Especially down there in GCW, because they are a bit outlawish, and I really hope they do.
I really do. I genuinely think that they will, especially because one of the positive changes in our society over the last 20 years has been the way that the talk around sobriety has changed. You know, sobriety used to be this thing that, like, in large part because of the, like, air quotes, straight edge concept, it was very kind of prickish and preachy, and the way that veganism was very kind of prickish and preachy.
Yeah.
That's what, like, people who were sober were seen as, like, fuddy-duddy, stick in the mud, I'm not fun at parties.
Yeah.
Types, and our conversation around sobriety has become much more nuanced, and we've all embraced the reality that, like, oh no, like, Billy needs to not drink because, like, Billy is a terrible person when Billy drinks.
We
should really, like, let's order him a soda and, like, really support him in this sobriety movement and, like, you know, be good people about it. If we're gonna do shots, maybe we should go in the other room.
Yeah.
And not make a big deal about it. Like, let's quietly go do this and, like, we'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah. As a sober person, I completely agree. And while we're on the subject, this GCW, that show, they're running the Hammerstein Ballroom. That is, they have sold the most seats
in the Hammerstein Ballroom. And the Hammerstein is going to be so fun.
I talk all the time about how I admire GCW and their gravitas and their boldness and how interesting they continue to be. So I want to support them in that endeavor. So I will be watching The World or Home. What, it's The World. Yeah, Homecoming was last night. The World. Shout out to them. And Mox versus Homicide is going to be fantastic. Back to the Royal Rumble. So I don't think people want to bring up the Forbidden Door because that's the whole thing with companies working with each other when they normally didn't, right? I don't think this is a Forbidden Door situation. I think literally they forgot that Mickey wrestles for Impact, and they're like, give him a call. We don't care. I think this goes to show how little they care about Impact, that they were like, we'll take one of the people and put in the Rumble.
Oh, I mean, it is definitely proof that they do not see Impact as a threat in any way, shape, or form. But I think that years ago, it still wouldn't have happened because Impact couldn't have handled that. Impact, like, Impact under the Dixie Carter, at the height of Dixie's regime, could not have handled this little brother treatment. Impact could never have dealt with it. I think the AEW experience humbled them in a way, because I think they expected it to be one thing, and then it turned out to be something totally different. And so I think that the WWE is at least one of those, like, well, this is the monster that we know, you know, if we can get them to embrace our brand and, like, put our brand out there, and if we can convince them to let her bring the title when she...
And she's coming out to Hardcore Country, by the way, which is her theme. And
which is her theme and her song. Like, so, you know, if they can, like, convince WWE to let all of those things happen out there on the Peacock, then Anthem will consider all of that brand awareness and a win.
Yeah, it's like, a plus.
This is a great way to push all of these, especially if you can, in any way, shape, or form, convince WWE to allow Cole or McAfee to mention that Impact is on Access TV, on the Peacock. If they can convince them to even mention that at all, Anthem will just be like, this is worth it. We can be your little, we can be your little brother. If you can mention to your umpteen million Peacock subscribers that our world champion, our women's champion who's in this match, and I expect the following to happen. One of two things. She will either get a very early number and have a good run against the lower level of the women so that she can get her spotlight and then, like, be eliminated by one of the people that's going to get a big push in the match.
Charlotte.
Or she comes in very late, has interaction with probably, you're right, Charlotte, because Charlotte's entered the match, and then Charlotte eliminates her and's like, I'm the only champion that matters in this match.
You, either of the two makes a lot of sense. You're absolutely right, and I'm happy for Mickey. Because
Mickey knows how to do business is what it all comes down to.
Well, so let's get to that. But real quick, I just want to say, to kind of put a bow on the forbidden door, I think everything you said is right. I agree with you, but I don't think this is going to be a working relationship.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't think you'll see Moose come over, or I don't think you'll see such and such come over or whatever, or they've sent somebody. I don't think this is one of those deals. I just think one of their most historically relevant women just happens to be wrestling there, and they needed her. By the way, this is the point where we point out two quick things. Number one, this Mickey thing, with respect, has got more buzz than everything it did with AEW, number one. I'm just saying. And I know that that may sound facetious, but no, go look at the numbers. And number two, it goes to show, maybe don't release like 80% of your women's roster before a Royal Rumble.
Well, I think what it was, I think my thought really on all of that is, it is not going to be a working relationship. Absolutely not. You're 1,000% correct there. However, what it does show is that the Royal Rumble is the time for them to do these things with other companies.
The ones that
they want to have good work, like good relationships with, and that they want to, like, develop some kind of, like, agreement, you know. Because, like, what is the, one of the things that we have said, and one of the things that they've learned with Impact Talent, is that, like, talents come from Impact television ready. You can repackage them if you want to and give them new gimmicks and all that other shit, but they come, they know what the hard cam is. They know what the style is. They know what the cues are. They know what the difference is between a live promo and a taped promo. Like, they come with all of those skills. So, like, if you want to have a good relationship with a company like that, the Royal Rumble is the time to do that. Yeah, sure. We can give you a competitor in this Royal Rumble match, give them a spot, give them an entrance, let them get a big pop, create a little bit of buzz, and then they get eliminated, and we'll call you next year.
And you know, with that thought process, with, again, all this respectfully, I'm not trying to diss or tear down anybody, but I'd be infinitely more interested to see these people come in, come into the Rumble. People who we've known, who we know and we have a relationship with, who and who may be in a different company, which makes things interesting, then see Ricochet or Tozawa or Dana Brooke. And because they're all great performers, and Ricochet in his own right probably should be higher on the card, but whatever. But this is more interesting to me because you don't know what they're going to do with Mickey now. Whereas you could have said, if Mickey would have just been a free agent and they brought her back, oh, well, she ain't going to win. She's not going to win now, but at least there is the preponderance of, well, they can't mess this up with Impact. So what are they going to do? You know, so it's, I think it's infinitely more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I think it breeds a whole new way to book the Rumble, because now you can go and call another company and say, absolutely, can we use this person for this match?
Absolutely. And to your point, give me Jonathan Gresham in the Royal Rumble match over a tag team wrestler that I know is not going to win the match and that's only there because you need 30 bodies any day of the week. Because it's like, oh, shit, what's Jonathan Gresham doing here? What y'all going to do with this? How's he going to be used in this match?
This is
interesting.
It's so much more interesting. They probably keep with people that they know the
probably
their fan base knows. Probably. But you know what? AJ Styles changed so much. It has showed them that
the pop that he got when he came in, just
a
like
a guy that they've never ever even put on their radar, can still get one of the biggest pops and people know him. Now he was in Orlando, so that helped, but still.
But to that point, there are rumors that they're going to have a similar surprise for the Men's Rumble. I don't know that I believe them, but, you know.
But if it was true, who are you thinking?
I don't know, because I don't know what company they would work with.
So the two we laughed at, we joked about.
Yo, man, give me my man Naito in the Rumble. Let me see that Destino.
Look. If there was ever, I'm sorry, Jeremy. I'm sorry, Josh. If there was ever a time for Naito to come over to WWE, it's now.
It ain't gonna happen, but
because I know he got the first title match against Okada, but like he's a tag.
Okada wins.
Well, clearly, right? And those two go out there and try to kill each other every match, so we know that. But he's a tag wrestler at this point because his knees are about as bad as yours. No diss.
That's pretty bad, man. That's pretty bad.
So go get the bag. You're going to be a legend forever in Japan. You can always go back. Go get that two-year deal and get that downside $1.5 million guaranteed.
But, I mean, you know, I agree with that. But, I mean, again, those are just rumors. And, you know, you got to take all these rumors with a grain of salt, especially if those rumors come from Uncle Dave's shit rag. Because
we never talked about the other part about the Mickey James situation.
Oh, what's the other part about
the... I apologize for stopping you. So the other part is, and you're going to disagree with me here, which is going to make this conversation fun.
Okay, go ahead.
Mickey, I will. We hear on the edge say all the time, we'll never begrudge anybody from getting these rich white people money. Go get the money. Go get the bag. Go get the bag. But I got to tell you, you are hurting the situation, in my opinion, and you are... you are brainwashing and setting up the fan base at us to a certain level when you are done wrong and rightfully come out and go at a company for doing you wrong, like Mickey did with the whole getting fired out of nowhere and then sending her the trash bag. But then to just go back almost negates everything you said, because people were riding for you. Right? People were riding for Mickey. People were riding for all these people who have been wrongfully done by WWE over the past 2 years. Unjustly fired for no reason. Forced to move across the damn country for nothing. Called up and given nothing. Being, I won't say mistreated, because nobody that I know has been mistreated personally, but professionally done wrong. And then, like, to come out and show the world that you've been done wrong with factual evidence. And have everybody on your side. And then, like, not even months later, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back. But what the fuck were you mad about? I know it's more nuanced than that. I get that. People are not a monolith. But to me, it almost makes me not trust the things you say anymore. Because if it was that bad, if you were done that wrong, and that's the second time you've been done wrong by that company, you were done that wrong, why won't you ever fucking go back? Especially when you have a fantastic situation right now. It bothers me personally, not enough to like not care about Mickey, because I still do, but it bothers me personally because I'm a person who believes in the things you tell me. I believe in the things you say. They matter to me. So you can't just say and do something and then do the exact opposite of that and expect people to be okay with it.
Bruh, I hear everything that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you're saying is valid. And all of those criticisms are real, and I feel them. I only have one question. Only one. And that is, how many zeros? I only have one question, and that is, how many zeros? How many zeros are on the check? Because, like, I hear you, and you write. But here's the thing. Especially in this situation. I'm just applying it to this situation. To this one right here. Right here. I'm not going back to work for them. This is a one night thing. I'm going to come in. They let me wear my current shit. Use my current jam. Referring to me by my current title. You know, I might convince them to let me bring this belt. Like, try to get the company plugged, all that shit. I'm here for one fucking night. I can come in. I can do this job. Do whatever the fuck they ask me to do. I can roll the fuck out. How many zeros are on this check? How many? Because, like, here's my thing, dog. Like, no lie. If there are the right number of zeros in this check, I can do it for one night. Like,
I hate you so much because you're so right. I hate you so much. And that makes me feel bad about myself because I'm like, I just gave that beautiful soliloquy and now, yeah, I think I agree.
Like, no, because everything you said is valid. All of those criticisms are real. All of those criticisms are real. And everything about it, I feel it. But it's just like, man, how many zeros? Because like... These are corrupt asshole billionaires anyway. Like we always say, get all of their money while you can. Do what you got to do. She got kids. She got a husband who refuses to leave his dead-end company.
He's office space, yes.
She got mouths to feed. So, like...
That's a fair point. Look,
By the way, people keep asking why Nick Aldis don't ever leave NWA, why he refuses to leave NWA. Because he don't need to. He ain't got to worry about that bread. He's Mr. Mickey James.
Well, I was going to say because he can't. But yes, that's probably part of it too, that he don't need to, yes. Nobody out here, not now. At a point maybe, but nobody out here caping for, oh, we got to get us Nick Aldis. I'm sorry.
No, but he could have gone back. He could at least go back to Impact and gone back to doing that Magnus shit.
Well, that's probably why he didn't go back, because I wouldn't go back to that shit either. But yes, journalism, please. I had to get that out of my system, because I've been waiting on that. That's hilarious.
Oh, no. Okay, so like to go back to our previous journalism, all of that stemmed from a lot of rumors in the dirt sheets, and you can never trust these rumors in the dirt sheets, especially if those rumors come from Uncle Dave Shitrag, because we keep telling y'all Uncle Dave is a piece of shit, and he keep coming out here in these streets proving he's a piece of shit. Brother Rance, hit him with this bullshit.
Fuck Dave Meltzer. What else we got?
I mean...
No, do you want to talk about it? Do you really... Okay.
I mean, just, we don't have to, like,
It's worthy of at least a small conversation.
Yeah.
Because the point he was trying to make is salient. The way he made it, as often, is stupid as fuck. There are rumors that the WWE... So we know factually that WWE is going and having a show in Saudi Arabia.
It's blood money season, y'all. It's blood money season.
That is factually set on the calendar February 19th. There is a rumor, however, that they're going to run their Elimination Chamber pay-per-view out there. Now, the idea of a chamber in Saudi Arabia is one that is not the most politically correct, given their history and the things that they do over there to people who they don't like. So, yes, I get that. But Mr. Meltzer proceeded to not in a tweet, not in a personal comment, but in his actual Observer newsletter, compare this to Auschwitz and said they might as well just call it WWE Auschwitz or go to Auschwitz or something like that. Now, look.
I think the words were, did they call it this because, or did they schedule it here because Auschwitz was closed?
Jesus Christ, that is...
And it's horrible. Just like, are you fucking kidding me? As someone who's actually been to Auschwitz, like, actually been there, are you fucking kidding me, bro? Like, for real? You making a joke out of the fucking concentration camp? It's 2022? What the fuck?
And, you know, so the past couple of weeks, we've talked a lot about diversity and inclusion and things like that. And these
and
are reasons why we talk about
to it. Say, and what yes. not to say when your fuck shit gets brought up.
And these are part of the reason why we talk about it, because I'm a black man. Kyle's a Hispanic gay man. We knock out all of the, so many of the minority people of color, non-majority quotas, right? Between the two of us. And all three of our, what we consider ourselves as, or what we are, we've all had our traumas in our lifetimes, right? We don't have to go through that. So you understand the things that even me being a black person, like there's you shit don't joke about, especially not in a paid newsletter.
Well, and just the way that you said it, and then when it gets brought up later, coming with the essentially the I have Jewish friends defense.
Well, hey. I've been getting I have black friends my whole life, so it don't even faze me like that no more.
It's not so much that it fazes you, but it's just like, man, how many times you got to tell people what not to do before like people pay attention?
You know, but I don't fault Dave anymore because he has shown himself to be who he is.
Yep.
I don't understand why these people keep supporting him.
And they keep standing so hard.
And people are caping to say, well, it was just a joke. And jokes fucking matter. People kill themselves over some jokes. I'm a big proponent of, like, jokes are jokes and it's not a big deal. This one is huge. This is a major deal. This isn't a dude making a joke to his friend. This isn't a dude making a joke in a joking situation. This is a journalist making a joke in his journalistic newsletter. What are we doing?
It's real gross. It's real fucking gross.
I wouldn't like it if I made that joke to you, just personally, and me and you talking. But
that's
even
what I'm saying.
It's still personal.
Well, and like, I'm not gonna. I'll be with you. And okay, fine. I won't fault Dave because you're right. Dave has revealed who he is on numerous occasions. But I will go back to what you just said. Like, I wouldn't want that personally. Like between you and me. I'm gonna fault the co-host a little bit. Like, you heard an Auschwitz joke and you just let that shit go. Like, you didn't say
this was on the newsletter. This wasn't on verbal.
Then
wrote this in
the layers
newsletter.
Of editing. The layers of the editors and publishers. Like, that's on them. You read this.
Yeah.
You read a Holocaust reference and clicked send anyway. You hit publish.
You know who now. Whose network the Observer is a part of, right?
No, tell me.
Sports Illustrated.
Oh Lord. Oh.
So Lord. I know that got back to them.
I know it did.
Because Dave doesn't apologize ever, and he apologized immediately.
Yep, he hit with that fuck shit apology. Ooh. And you know, you can always tell when a mediocre white man has never been forced to apologize for some shit because they can never do it right.
Yeah, they never leave with, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's always, well, you know, this situation happened, so if this situation would have happened, I wouldn't have had to do it.
Or anyway. It's always just like, here's the context for my fuckery, which excuses my culpability.
While we're on the subject, I'm not even going to talk about what a chamber match in Saudi Arabia, whatever. I'm not even going to talk about that. What I am going to ask you is, as a person who has openly and consistently said, you're not going to watch it in Saudi Arabia, which I respect. If they do run the Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia, the chamber, whatever you want to call it, and it is canon, so like the
results matter.
Yes, and like the winner of the chambers are gonna fight the champions at WrestleMania. How would that make you? How would you process that?
Well, I mean, I will say one, inconsistency with my prior stances. I still ain't watching that shit.
Facts, I got you.
I'm not doing it. I'll read about it on Fightful or Chairshot later. Number two, at this point, like, if I'm just going to keep it a buck, at this point, like, WWE has run out of ways to disappoint me. Like, they could do literally nothing else to, like, disappoint or like
there's a little country on like right above the 38th parallel. Don't be careful. Be careful what you're talking about.
Like, I mean, even that wouldn't surprise or insult or shock me anymore. I could see him doing it.
Okay.
Like, if the check don't bounce, I could see him doing it.
It would shock me because of who his homie is, if you know what I mean.
I mean, I feel you. But like, either way, it wouldn't faze me just because, like, this is a company that did mass layoffs during a pandemic and cited budget cuts in the face of record revenues. This is a company that for years insulted our intelligence or disappointed us or, you know, showed blatant racism and homophobia and transphobia. So, like, nothing surprises me no more.
I mean, you're right. I hate your answer, but it's so true.
Shitty people being shitty will never surprise me. It's just like, to get it back to the Uncle Dave of it all, it's just like, I can't be surprised that Meltzer did something shitty because Meltzer done been shitty.
I will say this, and forgive me for saying something positive about the situation, because I know how you feel and I respect it, and I tend to agree with most of it, although I am the idiot that watches everything. But I will say that I think it is interesting and maybe even to a certain extent good, because so much of the criticisms of those shows were they're glorified house shows that don't matter, so why should I watch them? But they're kind of forcing people to watch now. And I think that's for most people who don't stand on the pretenses and on the actual what's what I'm looking for?
Principles?
The principle. Thank you. I knew it was a PR word. The principles that you have, because you're a very principled man. For most people, I think that breeds interest. I don't know if it's good or bad, but it breeds interest. Because, like, maybe the WWE match of the year last year was in Saudi Arabia. Edge versus Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell. So it makes you almost say, well, do I have to watch this shit? So,
no, that's fair. That is fair. But in any case, y'all, we're going to take a quick break because we got to pay some bills. And then when we come back, we're going to hit you with some litigious fuck shit.
There you go. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Go get some shit.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for helping us pay those bills, y'all. And while you're at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, getting that shit, maybe pay a couple extra dollars and get it in some soft style, because I've heard it feels real, real good on your skin. But in any case, so MLW is out here in these streets, and they done lawyered up, Brother Rance. What's that about?
Look, man. MLW really out here, well, they want the smoke, to steal a phrase from the Street Profits. They have geared up with, of course, their litigation team, but with a former WWE executive who's come out now to be Susan Levison. And they claim that Vice TV was warned in early 2021 that Vince McMahon was pissed that they're airing MLW programming. So if you guys don't know, MLW, their regular weekly show is on YouTube, but they have like their big shows and like recap shows on Vice. And apparently it was supposed to be more than that. It was also alleged in the lawsuit, and that he also said that Vice should stop working with MLW. And it was also alleged in the lawsuit that their conduct was illegal and antitrust. But the other part of this was the Tubi situation, where if you guys don't know what Tubi is like a streaming service or something. But Tubi is owned by Fox. And apparently when WWE found out about the agreement, WWE contacted a Tubi executive located in Tubi's headquarters in San Francisco and threatened that if Tubi did not terminate the MLW contract, WWE would cease doing business with Fox and would pull important WWE programs from Fox platforms. Soon thereafter, and just days before MLW content was to begin airing on Tubi, the MLW contract was terminated, resulting in substantial losses to MLW and harm to consumers, including in California. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to throw it to you. First and foremost, I support anybody that wants to sue these motherfuckers, because if you write, you write. Go get this money. And they may have legitimate points on the Vice situation, but you really think Fox is never going to give up the $1 billion bag with Fox over Tubi? Like, let's be real. Come on, dog. That's a stretch to me, because Tubi is free.
Tubi is free.
So, like, Vince is going to say, hey, that $1 billion they gave us on network television to be part of Fox Sports, give it up. We can't have these outlaw wrestling guys on a streaming service that we don't even know is owned by Fox. That's a bit much of a stretch for me. The other part I think is legitimate. I'm going to throw it to you.
I mean, I'll say this. If you can prove it in court, go for it. Like, the burden of proof is going to be on them, though, because this is a civil suit. So, like, the burden of proof is going to be on them to prove that, like, they were wronged and that the WWE is responsible for the wronging. With Vice, they might have a leg to stand on, maybe, but it's hard to say, because I think WWE will point to Dark Side of the Ring and be like, we let that shit keep going.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
Like, I think
they slander WWE every fucking week.
I think that they might legitimately just be like, we let this entire show just continue to be a thing, and we've said nothing. So,
well, man, and Jared McDevitt don't lose. Like, and I'm not saying he never will, but like, if you know the history of Jared McDevitt, the general counsel for the WWE and for Vince McMahon, he got Vince off a steroid deal when he was dead in rights.
Well, I think the bigger thing for me is, like, I think what MLW failed to do was read the room, bigger picture wise. They got offered that deal at a time when things were trending upward and everything was good, and then the pandemic hit, and everything froze, and
they didn't do shows for a really long fucking time. And during that time, AEW became hot in these streets. And New Japan Strong restarted. And Impact stabilized. And, like, the landscape really, really changed big time on MLW. And I feel like a lot of the buzz, like, legitimately, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like a lot of the buzz MLW had, like, 3 years ago, GCW has now.
No, GCW is the hottest non-AEW WWE brand in the world right now. But I do think they built a lot of buzz for their comeback and for the War Chamber. They built a lot of buzz for that. And the unfortunate part of that was it wasn't on pay-per-view. It wasn't on YouTube. You had to wait for it to come on Vice 2 weeks after it happened. So, yes, I don't – and Court Bauer's doing his best to make things work there. But you have a great point. I want to say the two interesting things for me about this whole thing is, number one, they got Susan Leveson, who was a corporate head of WWE and was just released in 2021. Mm-hmm. So to have somebody that integral to the company who was just so recently released on your side, it's interesting because there is a preponderance of her having inside information on the situation. And secondly, what's the saying, you come at the king, you best not miss? Well, you got to have balls to still go at the king, even if you do. And I think so many of these companies, AEW not included, because they think they're on the same playing field. They're not, but they're closest to anybody. But nobody else has had the balls to actually go at them at a litigious level, right?
Especially not under antitrust allegations.
Yes, because they're trying to allege WWE had a monopoly, and they did. But you can't prove it because other companies are monetarily
thriving. I was going to say, you also are going to have a hard time proving it because now AEW's on cable.
Yes.
And so is Impact. Because
Impact's been on cable.
On cable.
Ring of Honor's on cable. Not a good network, not a good channel, but they were on. There's so Reality of Wrestling is in like 60 markets, and they're the small company here in Houston. WWE wasn't a monopoly in terms of the
market the share. Way
you, yeah, market share for sure, but everybody looks at wrestling and thinks WWE, right? But if it's not a true monopoly, if people are still making comparable money to the market,
yeah, and if all there is, well, not even comparable money to the market. If there is a market, it's not a monopoly.
But there you
the
go.
Fact that there is a market means it's not a monopoly.
That's it.
A monopoly has no market.
So I'm interested to see that, how that goes. I don't think they're going to win, but sometimes it's not the, sometimes it's the shots you miss that make that matter the most because you took it.
Well, speaking of firing shots and missing, what's CM Punk up to?
So are you involved in any form or fashion or do you know anything about the CM Punk MJF feud?
Nope.
Okay. So Punk and MJF have been feuding. Just they crossed paths and they've been having epic promo battles, right? Now, as you know, Wardlow is essentially signed to MJF, right? That's his heavy, but it's a sense where, like, you work for me. You may work at this company, but you work at this company for me.
For me, right? Yeah, you're under contract to me.
Exactly. And if you've watched, you've seen Wardlow get more and more annoyed. There was the time when he went at Brian Pillman in Cincinnati, and MJF told Wardlow, "Don't do nothing." And Wardlow sat there and let MJF get his ass beat for like 30 seconds until he did something. So there has been a slow kind of burn, where like you can tell Wardlow's gonna Batista's motherfucker pretty soon.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that story's been well told. So MJF and Punk have been having these epic promo battles, and we don't have to go into depth with that, but they've been massively entertaining. A little too WWE centric, but Punk wrestled there for most of his career, so I get it.
Oh yeah. I have seen some of them where like Punk called MJF like a knockoff Miz and
yep.
All that shit. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I'm on board. Continue.
So now you know that AEW loves to slow burn the shit out of things.
And then abruptly end them.
Well, yeah, once it's done, it's over. Well, we're not getting CM Punk versus MJF yet, but Punk had to wrestle Wardlow. In their match this past week, Wardlow powerbombed him. Now, Wardlow's powerbomb is like Batista, Kevin Nash, Sid level. Like, you don't get up from one of them. You're not supposed to. Powerbomb this motherfucker five times. Five times. The point where they were going to do a stretcher job. But if you ever watched, and Punk is doing so much Bret Hart cosplay, which is actually pretty cool if you think about it. But the Bret Hart, Diesel match, when he was going to power, the cockiness of him wanting to continue to powerbomb him, Punk rolled up Wardlow and won the match. Now, I bring this to your attention because, number one, I'm high on Wardlow. It's hilarious to me that everybody keeps saying Wardlow's the one guy's going to go to WWE and AEW. The day an article is put out about that, AEW puts out their own article with Wardlow in all caps saying why he'll never go to WWE. It's hilarious. But also, I think this match is the first real time we've started to see that the Punk experiment may be not thriving like it was when he came back at the first dance.
I said it before, but like Punk reminds me of that Jay-Z lyric, Dark Knight Fitted, die and be a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Hey, man. That's probably the best thing that he'll ever do in AEW is turn heel. Whenever it happens.
Well, I don't even mean it from a turn heel standpoint. I mean literally, that is Punk's arc. Punk was this like voice of the voiceless. I'm the person who speaks for the disaffected fan who's like had it with y'all insulting their intelligence and like giving them shit that they've told you clearly that they don't want. And like, I'm here to advocate for the people in this company who are actually capable of working and like giving the people what they want and getting the reactions. And if you just pushed them, this would be better and blah, 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 blah. But you continue to push these old veterans from the Attitude Era over us instead. And then he walked out. So die and be a hero. Or now, you know, time has passed and he's come back and he is the fucking legend who's coming into town that they are putting over the people that they should be pushing instead. Because he's taking up their shine and their spot. Because you can't be an enhancer of new stars if you go over all the fucking time.
I'm saying, dog. And legitimately. Now, if I'm wrong, please tell me and I will happily admit I'm wrong. But if you have a match where you have, maybe I'm being slightly facetious here, but the biggest hoss in the company. Wardlow is one of, not the biggest hoss in the company.
I would say he's probably the biggest hoss in the company now because, like, Brian Cage has been exiled.
Yeah, I mean, there's other people.
It's like basically him or, you know,
Archer, Mops. Yeah, Power Out. Sure. Yeah, but Wardlow's the original. He's the OG, right? And he hit you with this devastating move five times. And he loses that match. What are you going to remember leaving that match? That Wardlow left Punk laying or that Punk won?
I mean, you're going to remember that Punk won because that's what they're going to reference because an AEW wins and losses matter.
So, and that's my thing. Like, I get it if you are in a story-based company and the story was that Punk snuck by, but look what I did to him. All right, cool. They're not going to do that. And now this is me fantasy booking, so forgive me for that. But a lot of people have done this. If you let Wardlow beat Punk, Punk still got to wrestle MJF.
Yep.
That gives fodder for MJF to talk shit about Punk, number one. And number two, when Punk beats MJF, which he will, clearly, Wardlow can say to MJF, I beat him though. What happened to you? Because we know that slow burn is happening. So now you have story for months. Now what's the story? The same story was last week.
Well, the same story that it's going to end up being. Punk overcomes the odds.
I AEW is such a they're such a mystery to me because they do such good shit. And then they do shit that just doesn't make sense in the same breath. But through it all, the matches are great. So I guess nothing matters, right? Because the match is always good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and they are what we've been saying that they are. They're a company that doesn't realize how tone deaf that they are sometimes. And that has guaranteed that they have a plateau instead of continued elevation. And their plateau might be very high. And it has proven to be pretty high. Mm-hmm. But it is still just that, a plateau.
And I think they've reached that point. They've been around long enough. They've made enough moves, change the channels, hiring new people, letting people go. They've made enough. You got a new show. They've made enough moves now, been around long enough where I think the shine is starting to come off and you're starting to see more and more people be critical of them and not WWE drones, as they will call them, not people who are against the company, not people who don't want to see the company succeed, but fans of the company, people who care about the company.
I worry about their ability to overcome it, though, because they've proven time and time again the people at the top are super fucking thin-skinned,
yeah,
and incapable of handling criticism and not responding directly to it. Like, case in point, to lead into our final topic of the day, and we can get some chuckles in, Brandi Rhodes tweeting out about how she's not involved at all in the hip-hop album. So, like, give it a shot. And it's like, the fact that you felt the need to put that out there should let you know how the culture feels about you, boo, and maybe you should do something about that instead of, you know, constantly proving your inauthenticity. Number two, the fact that you felt the need to say anything at all, like, Stephanie would never.
Well, yeah, when you've never trained, went to school for, or learned how to be a chief brand officer, and you just become one because you're married to one of the EVPs. And I will never put down a black woman. I'm not trying to put down a woman in general. But the facts are the facts. She does not have a degree in anything in communications. She has never done anything in her career. She went straight from being a figure skater to wrestling. She never done anything in her career that would breed to her being the chief brand operator of a multi-million-dollar company. I'm not trying to diss her at all, but just show me the credentials and I'll shut up. Show them to me. Steph got a master's in communications. Steph worked in this company for 20 years before she got promoted to the spot. And every position, and this isn't me sticking up for Steph, this is just comparing credentials. Brandi Rhodes has no credentials to be this position. And you see it every day.
Yeah, so she felt the need to say something about it. And we might shut up about that if we saw some credentials, but what we're not finna shut up about is, so, like, they making a hip-hop album? Like, fuck?
So let me start off by saying the positives, okay?
Okay, okay, hit me with the positives.
The homie Rich Latta is gonna be on the track.
That is a positive. Rich is really good. That is a positive.
Yes. Josiah's on it. Leo's on it. Mega Ran is on it, so like it's legitimate people that are a part of it, right? I don't know if it's positive, but Castro's on it clearly. But Mikey Ruckus came. Well, Mark Henry's the one who first talked about it in an interview. And then Mikey Ruckus, who is the music producer, makes all the music for AEW, backed it up. And so this is what Mark Henry said in the interview. AEW is going to come out with, during Black History Month, there's a hip hop compilation that's being put together right now that I think the world is going to really love. I always like to see people in our industry cross brand and reach out and do things that was not expected of them. Mikey Ruckus provided more details. He said there's going to be tracks from Leo Rush, Max Caster, Sonny Kiss, Isaiah Cassidy, and others, and that 100% of the proceeds are gonna go to charity. And this is what he said. This is what he said in his actual tweet. Some context. This has been in the works for a while. To give better understanding, I assembled many familiar producers, musicians, rappers, and artists within our pro wrestling space to come together and make amazing music that tells the stories of our Black talent. This is a celebration of Black excellence. It is pure, authentic storytelling. Each star getting an original song written about their come up. We will press a limited commemorative CD for purchase with 100% of the proceeds going to charity. And then he mentions a whole bunch of people. Two of the guys from the Grapsody podcast are on there. Righteous Reg is on there, and a bunch of other people. Monteezy, TZ Jones, who is Swerve's hype man and partner, is on there, which is, I'm sure, how Rich got involved, and so on and so forth. Now, I have no qualms with them making that record. I think that's dope. I have no qualms with them giving the proceeds to charity. I think that's dope. The issue comes when you label it a Black History album because we're releasing it in Black History Month. And you saying this 2 weeks after your CEO and president and owner trashed a Black woman for no reason when she just talked about diversity. And you, and he was able to say how many Black friends he has in 240 characters. But there's, it does not pass the smell test.
Tone deaf. Inauthentic.
I feel bad for the people involved because they got good people involved.
I just... People don't read the room. People don't read the room. White men never learn, and people don't read the room.
Oh, I wish we were recording. I wish y'all could see the video of this right now. The bewilderment on my brother's face is so fantastic.
I have nothing to say, you know, because again, I'm sure musically it'll be great. You know, all the people that you named are really good. All of them are really, really good. Excited for Rich. That's a great platform for him.
Hell yeah.
Like, fuck yeah. Rich is super, super talented and he deserves that. But like at the same time, like this company is just like so... You can tell that they lack PR. Like, just say you're releasing a hip-hop album.
Compilation. Boom. Done.
You wanna... And that you're gonna donate the proceeds to charity. Also, like, pick a charity. Announce what it is. And for the love of fucking God, it better be a good one.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Because
that's
because the word... Life. Yeah, because the words, we're gonna donate the proceeds to charity, sound great. That sounds wonderful when you say them, but like there are a lot of charities out there. What charity are you going to give this money to? Are you going to give it to a charity like the Susan G. Komen Foundation that doesn't actually do any cancer research? They just sell merchandise and do branding. Are you going to sell, are you going to give it to like an organization that's actually out there in these streets, like making things better for people experiencing things like homelessness, poverty, inaccess to healthcare, lack of affordable food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, what kind of charity are you giving this to? Who's going to benefit from it? I am dubious of any company, not just a wrestling company, literally any company. I am dubious of the intention behind, oh, we're going to donate this to charity. Because I also want to see, okay, you donate things to charity, like, whose campaigns are you donating to?
There you go. Yeah. How much are you getting off your taxes?
Who, like, who are y'all supporting for your local and federal offices? What kind of laws are you lobbying for?
And Tony may vote one way, but we know Daddy votes another.
Daddy and Vince have a lot of the same friends. They may have similar feelings about things in the world.
Much more alike than they would like to put off. By the way, happy birthday, Shane McMahon. It was yesterday. So, you know, if nobody tells you happy birthday because your daddy won't, we will.
Well, hey. Shane and Tony have probably a lot in common. They probably doing lines together.
The thoughts and ideas of Mr. Kyle Moore do actually agree with the Outsiders Edge podcast and Cheshire Radio Network. No, can I tell you the thing that offends me the most about this? I think I like the idea. I like that. Like you said, if you take this away from Black History Month and from February and that, you just make it an album, much like Reckless Intent or WWE The Music, nobody cares. Here's what offends me the most, though. As a Black man and simultaneously as a hip-hop fan, why is that the thing you chose to give me for Black History Month? We're so much more than just fucking hip-hop music. You in the red jacket.
Because they don't highlight people of color enough to have Black history things to show you about their company.
Oh, well, you know, that may be true. That may be true. You know, look.
You can't spend 28 days showing Jade win the TBS championship as your Black History Month highlight.
No, don't forget Scorpio won that damn ring. Don't forget.
So then knowing this company and the way that they do it, they'll promote Scorpio and the Ring on TBS, and they'll promote Jade and the TBS title on Rampage.
Oh, man. Like, I want you to do so much better, AEW. My God. But I don't have any faith in Tony Khan at all.
None.
I have faith in Mark Henry, and I hope he can get through to that guy and let him help some of this. But my God, like,
I want to have faith in Kenny and the Bucks, but Kenny and the Bucks are your classic example of liberal white moderates. Like,
I have faith in Kenny and the Bucks, for sure.
Like, their intentions are not outwardly prejudicial, and they're not, like, intentionally awful, but, like, they're only willing to go so far, and they don't see how the things that they're not willing to push for hurt and impact the cause.
If I can big up Kenny for just 1 second, I will say this.
He did not deserve any of what happened to him on Twitter. That was uncalled
for.
Never.
And
called for.
And he fucked up with what he said, and he owned up to it. But that doesn't mean that he deserves all of the hate and the trashings he gets on a regular basis. It's bullshit.
Be better people, y'all.
But I appreciate the fact that if we look at the three VPs and what they're in charge of, we know Kenny's in charge of the women's division. I never hear the Bucks or Cody stick up for their divisions, ever. They don't have to, but I never do. Kenny is regularly coming out and saying how much he cares about the division, how much he wants more for this, how much he's trying to do that. And I appreciate that, because even if it's just like lip service, it makes me feel like you're fighting a fight and you're just not winning. I didn't even feel like anybody was fighting the fight for them. But it feels like there's a fight being fought, like Fit fought for the women in the WWE for all those years. He didn't win for a long time, but eventually it got through, right?
Right.
At least I feel like Kenny's fighting. And I agree with you on the idea of them like not going to a certain level. But, I mean, I just want the women to do so much better because they're so good. Mm-hmm. And there's so many good women out there available now. They're like, you got a Mercedes. You know, you have the possibility to sign Taya and Athena and so many great women. You can't sign these women and come half-step and still have one fucking women's match. Rob Bonnet, the homie Rob Bonnet, is doing an actual weekly breakdown of how many women's matches are on every show. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and Rampage and Dynamite. And the numbers from 2021 are staggering for AEW. Like, do better. Everybody do better. But especially AEW do better, because you've been in the news too many times for the issues with your women and for the issues with representation. Do better, dog. It's not hard. You make the matches. You pick and choose who wins. You pick and choose who matters. Because Hangman Page wouldn't have been world champion 3 years ago.
Facts.
So, let me get off my soapbox. I apologize.
And on that note, you can find me on Twitter at Dr. S'mores. You can find the show on Twitter at Outsiders Edge CS. And you can find the Good Brother Rants on Twitter at
It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in them dollars, apparently Mickey James got for this damn match.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are a part of the Chairshot Radio Network at Chairshot Media, where you...
Always get some... I'm sorry, always use your head. My bad. I'm sorry. Different conversation.
And as always, y'all, we here at the Outsider's Edge are some increasingly less young gentlemen doing everything that we can trying to make it out here in this world. And sometimes we're going to hit you with them quick facts like, I understand the criticism, but how many zeros are in that check?
Get paid, young person. Get paid.
And other times we're going to hit you with them serious criticisms like, your intentions might be good, but your timing is terrible.
There's more times to celebrate Black people than just the 28 days of February. Learn that.
But no matter what, we're just out here chasing our dreams, and you have got to respect that. Because if you don't, well, just like CM Punk and these young bloods, we sure don't give a fuck.
Well, technically, if you have a big enough check with enough zeros, we may start to give a fuck. But until the check comes, fuck them.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
How many zeros again?
Not enough.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.